Is there anything too wonderful for God? What shall we return to God for all of God's bounties? Amen. At this time, if you would rise and stand, if you are able, we will join together in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin or that is on the screens. People of God, run to our welcoming God. Holy One, you never pass us by. People of God, proclaim our love for the God of love. Beloved One, you hear our voices, you answer our cries, and receive our praise. People of God, sing God's good news to the world. Empowering One, you give us power to be signs of the kingdom of heaven. Let us join together in the opening prayer. Loving God, you remind us that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Open our eyes, our faith, and our heart, that we may perceive and celebrate your presence. Give us eyes as Abraham and Sarah before us, to see you on our doorsteps, as you promise us unimaginable joy. Give us the faith of Paul to trust your eternal and unfailing love. Give us hearts empowered by your Son, Jesus Christ, to show your compassion to the harassed and the helpless. We ask in the name of Jesus, who reconciles us to you and sends us forth to be your reconciliation in the world. Amen. Our service will continue with our opening hymn, hymn number 158 in the hard, dark blue hymnal, Come, Christians, Join to Sing.
Friends, you may be seated. As you seat yourselves, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we give you thanks for all things, for the sunshine, for the coolness of night, for the rain, for the dry winds. God, we give you thanks that you continue to bless us, keep us, and guide us. Lord, we give you thanks, and we also lift up those who are dear on our hearts. We lift up those who are recovering from injury or illness, those who are struggling with disease or sickness. God, be with them. Give them healing. Give them strength. Give them patience. And Lord, if there's teams of doctors or nurses involved as well, Lord, give them wisdom. Give them compassion. Give them the strength that they need to continue to do good work in our world. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. And we ask that you continue to bless us and show us what it means to be a people of faith, what it means to be your community. Through Christ our Lord, we pray all of these things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, we invite you now to join us in the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. If there are any kids, young or old, that would like to come up front, now is an excellent time to do that.
There we go.
Amen.
I see that. How? What try was that? Six. If it didn't work, it would have been seven. So six or seven tries. Okay. So last week, some high schoolers and I went on a trip. We ended up in Sioux City, and we went to their church. And for their children's time, they do a mystery bag, where someone in the congregation takes a bag, like this one, and they pick whatever they want, and they put it in the bag, and then they bring it on Sunday, and whatever's in the bag, I have to make a lesson on. I have not seen what's in the bag, and Miss Ella Champagne has decided what is in the bag this week. Do you think she went easy on me? You think it's pills? What do you think it is? You don't know? Do you have a guess? No? Okay. So, pills. It's a little dinosaur. For those that can't see, it is a little dinosaur. I don't know what kind of dinosaur this is. We don't know what kind of dinosaur this is. Any guesses? A green dinosaur. So we have a green dinosaur. What do we know about dinosaurs? They're extinct. They are extinct. They were born in 1944. What else do we know about dinosaurs? They're dead. Dinosaurs were really big, right? They were really big. Some of them were. Skeptical. Some dinosaurs were really big. They were pretty strong too, right? Strong and mighty. What else do we know of that's big, strong, and mighty? They did eat lots of food, that's true. What else do we know if that's big, strong, and mighty? God, yeah. We have a big, strong, and mighty God, right? So does that mean that God can do anything? Yeah, God can do anything. So, does that mean God can move mountains? Yeah. Can God part the seas? Yep. Can God help us on our bad days? Yep. You guys are pretty smart. So, we have a big and strong God. We can trust God to handle all of our stuff, right? Cool. Should we pray? All right. Hey, God. Thank you so much for helping us through everything and being so big and strong that we can trust you. Amen. All right, before we leave, who is taking the bag? All right. All righty.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Romans in the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear these words. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our affliction, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that it has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for us ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our service will now continue with the special music of Bagpipe Medley performed by Pastor Luke.
Thanks, friends. I had to put a new read in, which was much harder than the old one, so I'm a little out of breath. But friends, this is a time of offering now where we get to remember that not only is God good, not only is the community faithful, but that all things are a gift. All things are a blessing. Our wealth, our talents, our energy, all of it. So friends, today, thank you again for those who partner with us, those who support us, those who continue to make sure that the ministries can continue so that the kingdom of God can be built and the community can be blessed. But as we give our offerings today, whether you put them in the plates as they pass by, whether you have the little yellow card to go on the plate because you give electronically or online, I invite each and every one of us to reflect on what God has blessed us with over this past year. What has God blessed you with over this past year? May you reflect on that, and may your hearts be filled with gratitude. Almighty God, bless these gifts. Bless these offerings. Lord, what you first gave to us, we give back to you, that your light and your grace might shine through it and through us, that our community might be blessed, that our congregation might know your grace and your hope, that the world might know that you are risen. You are risen indeed. Through Christ our Lord, we give thanks. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Nope. You may stay standing and join us in our next hymn, Surely the Presence of the Lord. You can find it up on the screens or in your thick blueback hymnal on 328. We'll sing it two times through. Thanks, friends. friends. Now you may be seated. Our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 23 through chapter 10, verse 23. Friends, this is the good news, according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him, but when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you have faith that I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. And then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him through all of that district. After they had gone away, a demon-possessed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been made mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "By the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Here's the obligatory happy Father's Day to everyone who is a father. Whether you have chosen that role or that role has been thrust upon you, whether you are a father and it looks not normal, what's the word I'm looking for? Looks like every other father, or whether you father and have no, and you look nothing like a father. Friends, can you turn to each other and say happy Father's Day? I know it's going to feel weird, I promise. Say it even to the women, it's okay. Friends, we know that, I think as Corey said, it takes a village. There's a lot of things that we help each other with, support each other through, are there for each other with our presence, our prayers, and who we are. This is a fascinating passage, or at least the last part of it. I always forget how long this passage is, so thank you for hanging with us. But this is a fascinating passage at the end. It's the sending of the 12. It's the sending of the 12 where Jesus says, "Go out and do the things that I have done. Raise the dead, cast out evil, cure the sick, care for one another." And at least our passage today says, you received without payment, give without payment. When a passage like this comes up for me, typically what I think is back to that first part. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You've heard it before. It comes around every once in a while. And I'm sure preachers before have preached on this in terms such as, so let's get out there and do it. Amen? Amen. But this week, the Spirit kept poking and prodding and tugging and trying to say something maybe a little different, or at least it had me wrestling with something a little bit different. You receive without payment. Give without payment. Does that make anyone uncomfortable? No, it should. It should. Growing up, what have you heard all of your lives? I'm going to make an assumption here, but I'm pretty sure about this one. Growing up, what have you heard about all of your lives in relation to something that starts with a W, ends with irk, work? What have you heard? Work hard, and you'll succeed or prosper. There's an old story, it's not in the Bible, it's one of those folk tales that we tell. Do you know the story of the mother hen baking bread? Have you heard that one before? Right, I'll give you the abridged version of it. A mother hen has chicks and she wants to bake bread and she's on the farmyard. She goes around and asks all of the various animals, are you going to help me bake bread? She goes to the goats and what do the goats say? No. She goes to the pigs and what do the pigs say? No, I'm good. The horse says, no. The cow says, nah. So eventually she gathers her chicks and goes and bakes the bread. And you know the smell of fresh bread, right? It starts to waft over the farmyard. And what happens? Well, first it's the goat, and then it's the horse, and then it's the pig, and then it's the cow, and then it's other animals that weren't even asked. And they come up and they ask, can we have some bread? And the mother hen says, no. Why? Because they didn't help. How many of you hear that story and you go, ah, yes, truly, truly this feels right and just? Anyone? Because that's what we grow up hearing, isn't it? And there's some truth to it in many ways. But then Jesus comes along and says something like this. As you go, proclaim the good news. This is right out of verse 7. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those with skin disease. Cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. That should make us all a little bit uncomfortable. Not necessarily because it's wrong, but because it goes against a little bit what we hear growing up. And so now we get to thank God that we have been given a scripture that we get to wrestle with, that creates problems in our lives that we might get to see the kingdom of God just a little bit more. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we trust you, but sometimes we don't understand. Even I sometimes don't understand. So Lord, help us wrestle today with this idea of gift and grace. Help us wrestle today with this idea of what it takes to be the people of God. And Lord, may your Spirit speak to each of us. And Lord, may we hear what you want us to hear, that our ears might be open, that there might be light behind our eyes, that we might find grace. Amen. There's new babies in the congregation. I'm not going to call people out and embarrass people, but it is a good thing to see new babies. Do you remember, for those of you who have given birth, or those of you who were present during birth, do you remember what happened as soon as the baby entered the world? Crying, right? Well, at least hopefully. If you were like my son Ben, you were pretty quiet until the doctor had to pinch him a little bit to get him to say anything at all. But what happened? Do you remember? The child came into the world, and again, I'm glossing over all the pain and all the frustration and all the hardship, but the child came into the world, and do you remember that moment that the doctor held them, or the nurse, or your husband? But right before that, something incredible happens. Right before that, the doctor or the nurse, or if you were a brave husband, has to catch the baby, don't they? The baby doesn't just come fully formed. The baby isn't able to walk or land on its own feet. Someone has to catch the baby. Amen? It might seem like a strange thing, but it's important. Because someone has to catch the baby. Someone has to help the baby stay warm, swaddle it up in cloth. Someone has to feed the baby. Someone has to eventually give the baby their first bath or their first haircut. Eventually, we have to teach the child how to talk and how to walk and all of these things. Friends, do you know what I'm getting at? When you were a child, what were you able to do on your own power? Cry, and that's about it. Amen. We relied on our mothers and our fathers, the doctors and the nurses. And I would even wager that our mothers and fathers relied on their mothers and fathers to give them a break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know at the very beginning of life that we come into this world with nothing, relying on everyone else. But then what happens? We grow up, right? We grow up, and then we're able to do what? Cook, clean, drive a car, walk, think, make good decisions and bad decisions. And we start to do these things on our own power, and eventually we get to the place where we care for other people, whether they're our children or our community members or our students or whoever. We care for other people. It's what we do as humans. But you know how the saying goes, don't you? You get to the end of the life and you've amassed all of these toys. What do you get to do with them? You get to take them with? This is where you shake your head from left to right, right? No, we don't. And what's even more fascinating to me than that is this idea that came about, a professor from seminary first made me aware of it, but I've noticed it every single time I've done a funeral. I know, we've gone from birth to grave now. Every single time I've done a funeral, what's fascinating is that the body will be in the casket or the remains will be in the urn. We'll go through the service, we'll honor our loved ones, we'll put our hope in the resurrection, we'll know that death is not the end. And then after the service is done, where do you go? Either downstairs for lunch or out to a restaurant somewhere, or you go to the cemetery, the graveside. And for those of you who have been to a graveside, there's something interesting that happens. The hearse pulls up with the casket or the urn. And then who are the people that grab the casket? What are they called? Pallbearers. The pallbearers grab the casket and they walk to the place. And they put the casket on the machine. And back in days of old, you'd have ropes that people would lower the casket down into the ground. And then after that, we say our goodbyes and we cover the casket with dirt. In birth, we are cared for. And the last act that is done for us is in death, when we are lowered to rest into the ground. I want us to think about that for a moment. We don't start this life without relying on others, and even at the end of our lives, what do? We have to rely on others. How many of you are feeling uncomfortable yet? I joke around with my colleagues that Americans are fiercely individualistic. We love to be able to do stuff on our own. Amen? Amen. And yet, what is the gospel having us wrestle with, at least at this kind of cheeky little line at the end? You have received without payment, give without payment. There's a tension here, isn't there? There's a paradox. There's a hard lesson to learn in life. Perhaps the kingdom of God looks like this. That those without are cared for. That those who don't have much can be blessed. That maybe it's like the parable of the workers who came throughout the day. Do you remember this one? Again, Jesus is poking at our modern sensibilities a little bit again. The parable of the workers who came throughout the day, there was a foreman, there was a supervisor that needed to get the harvest done. You know how it goes. Things come up and it seems like there's never enough time to do anything, and there's never enough hands to do anything. I think we just said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So the supervisor goes out to the marketplace and he says, I'm looking for workers. I just need to get this harvest in. I got to be done by the end of the day. Who wants to show up? And a few hands shoot up, and this is about, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. And they go out and they start working in the fields. It's not getting done fast enough. The supervisor needs more workers. So the supervisor goes back to the marketplace around 10 o'clock and says, all right, who's looking for work? A few more hands shoot up. They go to the field and they continue to work. But what happens? It's not getting done fast enough. There is so much grain to bring in. It is a blessing. It is a gift. So the supervisor goes back around the noon hour and then back around 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And they're working till sundown. And they finally get the harvest in as the sun dips below the horizon. And then it's time to what? It's time to get paid, right? It's time to get paid. And the supervisor starts handing out a day's worth of wage to those who started at the beginning, and a day's worth of wage to those who started at 10, and a day's worth of wage to those who started at noon, and 1, and 2, and 3. And of course, what happens? The people who started at the beginning cry out. They say, we've worked all day and we're getting paid the exact same amount as those who came in at the end. I kid you not, this is scripture, and yet it's like modern society is speaking through the Bible. And what does the supervisor say? It's a gift. It's a gift. You signed on for this. You knew what it was. But regardless, it's a gift. You are being taken care of. Anyone feeling uncomfortable yet? Because it's hard, because we know that the work has to get done. Amen? We know that people have to do it. We know that things don't just come about on their own, that it takes a little bit of grit and determination and energy and time, that maybe even it takes a little bit of money and sacrifice. And yet, Jesus here is saying, it's all a gift. Your birth, your death, the breath coming in and out of your lungs, your relationships with each other, it's all a gift. This is what we say when we bring up the offering. This is what we say when we commend souls to God, that as you first gave it to us, so we give it back to you. And what's fascinating about this for me, because when I was sitting and wrestling with this scripture, you know where my mind went? Well, if it's all a gift, then man, we should just buck up and figure it out and be grateful. Amen? But as I sat with it, as I let the Spirit poke and prod, I realized something. That there's a hardness and then there's an edge to that that was within me. That as I started to wrestle with and listen to the gift that God has given us, gratitude softened my heart. Gratitude helped me understand that God is good in all things, that I am blessed in ways that I am not even aware of. Friends, this is a hard lesson because our whole lives we've been taught that those who work get what they work for. But just like Romans said, God loved us even when we were still sinners. That shows God's love for us. We didn't earn salvation. We didn't earn grace. And yet God gave it to us nonetheless. I'm not here with any specific answers. I'm not here with the exact next step that you need to take. I wish I was. It'd be a whole lot easier then. But what I do know is this. Our lives, as we continue on as a people of faith, hopefully our lives look more and more like the life of Christ. Hopefully our actions resemble what God is doing for us and for our communities. And so again, I know I'm poking at long-held cultural assumptions here, but so is God. So may we wrestle with that tension and that line between the work that needs to be done and the gift that is everything. May our hearts soften. May we be filled with compassion. May we bear one another's burdens, as Paul says in one of his letters. May we be gracious. Because at the end of the day, in life, in death, everything's a gift. Friends, may it be so. May your hearts be filled with grace. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks. Lord, if we've been uncomfortable, help us wrestle. Lord, if we think we know it all, throw us back into wrestling. Lord, you have gifted us with questions. And it's the searching, it's in the process that we find you. So, Lord, give us the strength and endurance and the patience to continue to seek. Give us eyes to see and hearts to follow. And Lord, in all things, may we be grateful. Even if it takes us a long time to figure out what we're grateful for. Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude so that the world may know that the kingdom is here, that the sick are being healed, that evil is being cast out, that the blind receive sight. God, be with us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, we invite you to stand as you are comfortable. and join us in our final hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. You can find it on 664 in your thick blueback hymnal or up on the screens. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. Friends, go ahead and take a seat real quick. Yes, Ella Champagne, come to the front. Ella has a opportunity for you all to support wonderful things around town. I'll let her speak because she'll do it much better than I will. So,
hi, guys. So at the high school, we have a group called the Social Justice Council, and me and my friend are the co-presidents this year. So we have lots of different stuff starting this summer and early on in the school year that we're trying to celebrate and bring awareness to and just kind of celebrate within not only our school but the community. We're partnering with a bunch of different businesses and talking to the police officers and the firefighters. But as our mission to raise money and bring awareness, we kind of need some help to get us off our feet. So if any of you guys have some ideas of things we can do or just want to support us in any way you can, it would be really appreciated. This is an opportunity. You can contact me or my mom or my grandma. So just if you have ideas for things that we can help out with or do, or you want to support us in any way possible, it is all greatly appreciated. We have a Facebook page, too, for anybody who's on Facebook. Just look up Social Justice Council, and you will find it. Okay, thank you, guys.
It's the work of God to bless others. So if your heart is moved to be a part of that and bless our youth, then go ahead and speak to Ella. I'm sure they're going to do good work. So, friends, it's the end of service, and now it's time for our blessing. Would you receive the benediction? May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift you up and give you peace. Friends, go now. May your eyes and your hearts be open to what God is doing in your lives and in our community. May our hearts be filled with gratitude for what God has already done, is doing, and will continue to do. And may we see it all as a gift. And may we give as freely as Christ gives. Go with God, and God will go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, go and rest. Enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service has ended. I'm sorry, I forgot one more announcement. And if I don't say it now, I'll forget it. Sorry, Liz. Thanks for being patient. There is a new federal holiday, Juneteenth, on Monday. I just want to let you all know that the office will be closed for that federal holiday. We'll open back up on Tuesday. If you have any questions, come see me afterwards. Now, our service has ended. Go and serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you.